Hey, Pete, do you have any obscure impressions?
No, unfortunately not.
No.
No.
How about an impression of yourself?
From the hideout, the 30th of January, 2024. That's an admission.
Is it?
We have recorded this podcast.
That almost sounds like Pete Smith.
It does.
Yeah, almost.
It is Pete Smith.
Yeah.
And you are the boy comedian, Jovan Caro. Say hello to everybody, Jovan.
He pointed at me. I felt like I was in real trouble.
Say hello to everybody.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
And Tony Martin, of course, the expat.
Yeah.
Is that the correct term? Probably not.
I suppose
but still,
so.
It covers a multitude of sins, and you've been involved in quite a few sins, but
yeah, sure.
Thankfully, all very funny sins as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I don't know. There's some dodgy ones in there, but it's 38 years I've been Australian. So, you know, you get to the point where you have lived in one country longer than your own country. That's a strange feeling.
I think that's an achievement. 38 years and never been deported.
Not so far.
Right. Mm. And so now that you've crossed over more than half.
Yes.
Do you feel any more Australian? Do you feel like this is home?
Yeah, I do.
G'day. Do you say g'day?
I do say g'day. I often just have corks dangling from my hat. What I don't feel comfortable with is talk of sport, but that was the case in New Zealand as well.
That is a huge part of the culture here, isn't
it? Yeah, people are always demanding that I choose a team, and I go, I don't understand the teams. They're going, but you have to choose one.
Yeah.
So, but then I'm in a room right now with two blokes who know even less about sport than me. I know Jovan has a bit of soccer knowledge.
Yeah. I just hide it. But I feel the same way. I was born here and I still don't feel that comfortable around sport, which feels like the biggest culture.
No, we're exceptions to the rule, I'm afraid, aren't we?
Yeah, I'll be in a group of people sort of all talking about the grand final and I'll be going, did you hear what Criterion are bringing out on Blu-ray, some new Harold Lloyds? And they just look at me like, back to New Zealand, please.
I always make up a team and I go along with it.
Oh, really? Do
and
you?
Then they just think
a team.
I'm just crazy.
Oh, well, I'm a Collingwood supporter.
Yeah.
I let everybody know because I don't want Eddie McGuire to shout at me.
Well, I barrack for the Red Hot Roosters, which have won every match of AFL.
And what do they do?
They kick a ball.
No, but is it a soccer? Rugby?
I don't know. It's AFL. Yeah.
AFL?
Yeah.
Red Hot Roosters?
Yeah.
Never heard of them.
Well, yeah, you just fell for it, Pete. See, it works every time.
In the last episode, there was a lot of talk where I was getting you guys to, you know, mention New Zealand things that might have confused you. And all of those things were like from 1983. All of my references are so out of date from New Zealand.
Yeah, even New Zealanders wouldn't know what you're talking about.
That's right.
Yeah.
We don't call it the dairy anymore. What are you talking about?
I had the gall to call it Waikikamuke, which is the only Kiwi joke I know, which I know is you talk about 1980s. That goes back to 1930, I think.
That's right. But you know why they say Waikikamuke?
No.
Because there is a place called Paikokoriki.
No.
That's a real place. One thing that happened in New Zealand is many years ago when the Lord of the Rings films were coming out.
Those little independent films?
Those tiny productions. They had a minister for Lord of the Rings in the parliament because I think they worked out Lord of the Rings was the second biggest contributor to the economy. So they go, we've got to have a minister for Lord of the Rings. And I remember thinking, well, fine, but he's got to wear something. He's got to be dressed.
At least not wear shoes so you see his exposed
Well,
Hobbit's
you can
feet.
Actually visit the site of the filming.
Oh, yeah.
They've made that. It's not exactly a theme park. Well, I suppose it is in a way.
Oh, no, but you'll often be driving into a town in New Zealand and it'll have Welcome to Matamata, the name of the town, and then it'll have in brackets Hobbit on.
Really?
So that you know which part of the film you're currently in.
Well, I don't blame them cashing in on it because it was a big boost to the whole scheme of things in New Zealand, really.
Yeah.
I think they've got a lot to thank Peter for, haven't they?
Yeah, Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson.
not Pete Smith.
No.
He's written them all.
I could see you as Gandalf, Peter. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Ian McKellen's got very good enunciation, but you would have taken it up a notch.
Well, yeah. Now, you're doing another Matrix on me because I've never seen Lord of the Rings.
You shall not pass!
It only takes 9 hours to catch up, Pete.
Yeah,
that's to watch all the three
short
films.
That's only if you watch the short version.
That's right. Nine the theatrical hours. Releases. Then you have the Hobbit films. There are three as well. Sure. Those apparently aren't as good. I haven't seen them.
You're admitting you haven't seen the Hobbit films.
I haven't seen the Hobbit films.
And your generation, would that be aimed at your generation?
Oh, well, I think they just weren't as popular because they weren't as strong as the Lord of the Rings films.
Do you think they just sort of pushed it too far?
I think even Peter Jackson admitted he had run out of time to make it any good.
Yeah.
That's a shame,
isn't it?
It was
a big studio mess.
And yet Lord of the Rings, the trilogy.
Yeah, it's a trilogy.
It stands as one of the all-time greats as far as movie making is concerned.
Absolutely.
And how much of a fan are you, Tony? Do you feel any pressure to be a Lord of the Rings fan because you're from New Zealand?
Not really. I like the films, but I'm not someone who's read the books or, you know, dresses up as the characters.
Yeah.
What I like about Lord of the Rings is suddenly people knew where New Zealand was.
Yeah.
Because up until then, every Christmas, they would always, when I was a kid, the news would end with a montage of people in other countries being asked in the street where they thought New Zealand was.
Isn't it by France? That's north of Canada, isn't it? Don't they have two? There's two New Zealands. There's one in Canada and there's one on the equator. Don't you get there from Antarctica on a bus? I think you get a bus to New Zealand. Maybe via France.
And we would laugh away at that in New Zealand. And then when Lord of the Rings came out, suddenly everyone knew where it was. And then a couple of years later, Flight of the Conchords came out, and suddenly the New Zealand accent was acceptable internationally.
I've totally confused you with Australians. I feel terrible. Your accents are just kind of similar.
Our accents are completely different. They're like, where's the car? And we're like, where's the car?
Pete, you've mentioned a few big franchises now. The Lord of the Rings, which you haven't seen. Have you seen Star Wars?
I saw the first Star Wars.
But none of the new ones?
I think I might have seen the second.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, George Lucas was a great serial fan of Saturday matinees long before television, where kids like me, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, every Saturday, we went to a Saturday matinee, which was a special screening at your local cinema with cartoons, a feature film, obviously aimed at kids, a G-rated film as it was at the time. But the favourite part of the whole Saturday matinee were the serials.
And you're going to mention Flash Gordon.
Well, Flash Gordon is one of the original ones, yes. There were all sorts of things. Zorro, Batman and Robin, Superman. Way back before even George Reeves, and the 15 episodes ensured that you came back the next week to see whether the hero could get out of a sticky situation.
In the 70s, what we loved doing as kids was going to see things like that to spot the wires holding things up.
Oh, well,
and so
yes,
you'd always see a bunch of kids, bunch of nerds out the front, very high voices going, oh, I can see the wires. You can see wires holding that up.
I've got to tell you, back in the 50s, we never noticed the wires.
No.
And when we saw Wizard of Oz, we marvelled at the picture, and let's face it, it is a classic.
Sure.
But once I bought my kids a digitalised version.
Oh, you can see the wires
DVD,
holding the monkeys up.
You could see where they rolled the paint rollers on the back sets and things. You know, it didn't take it away for us.
I love when you sort of pick up on those details after you've really enjoyed the film.
But see, the films that you've grown up with, Joe, like The Matrix, you go, well, that's never going to look like rubbish. But do you think it will? Do you think, like, in 10 years' time, we'll be looking at The Matrix going, it doesn't look very good?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd say some CGI hasn't dated well. So Reloaded has some animated humans in it. And you can always tell when someone tries to computer generate a human. There's always this sort of element of,
I remember when I was
offness.
A kid, Tron came out and we thought, oh, this is the future. This is incredible. And then I looked at it about 5 years ago and I'm going, was this the film? Is this an animatic for the effects?
Yeah.
This can't be what actually came out.
It's just a lot of neon lights.
Let me tell you, just hearkening back to The Matrix.
Yeah.
It'll never be screened in a nursing home, I can assure you, unless they want to clear the joint.
Oh, I don't know. See, what's going to happen is when people Joven's age are very old, they'll be calling, oh, what's this rubbish? Let's have the Matrix.
Yeah, I want to watch the original, not the reboot.
Okay, here's a question. What have people yelled at you in the street?
What a topic.
Okay, this is a good topic because here's what happened to us recently.
Wait. There needs to be a sound effect for this segment.
What have people yelled at you in the street? Miss Alpha and Serena, we're doing this walking every street in Melbourne thing. We're walking in, I guess it'd be the border of Williamstown and Altona. Car drives past, guy winds the window down and just yells at the top of his voice, Greg! And we're going, Greg? That's a very strange heckle. Imagine just someone yelling Greg at you. We were laughing about this for about 5 minutes.
Greg Fleet walking behind you.
It wasn't Greg Fleet. We looked down and Serena was wearing a T-shirt for the band Tism. And it has a stop sign on the front with the word Greg on it.
Greg, the stop sign.
So yeah, they were right. Simply reciting what she had on her shirt. But we didn't, we'd forgotten. We hadn't looked at what shirts we had on. And so, oh, right. But
Nike!
For about 5 minutes ago, why would someone yell Greg?
Well, that's okay, Greg. That's harmless. But with some of the things I've seen written on T-shirts, anybody seeing that out from a car, you know.
My parents went to Bangkok and all they brought back was this stupid T-shirt.
Imagine having that yelled from a car.
Pete, has anyone yelled at you? And it can't include Jackie, who's told you to put Mervyn away.
No, I don't think I've met. No, not really.
Nothing in the street, because I have multiple things yelled at me based on various projects I've worked on. And the great thing is I can tell how old the person is by what the reference is. So people who remember me being on radio in the 80s will literally yell, Fat Man! At me because I was called the Fat Man for reasons too hard to explain on Melbourne radio. So that's from the 80s. From the 90s, people will yell, because that's something we did on TV. From the noughties, people will yell a range of things from the radio show Get This. People will yell, this is dizzy stuff, which is something Rex Hunt said. And now, because of Sizzletown, people yell, what's it going to be?
You didn't commit.
I didn't want to yell that. or they'll go, birds are dumb, which is something my cat says on the podcast. But it is very strange when you're with someone else who doesn't know what that means.
Oh, for sure.
Why did someone yell Fat Man at you?
So obviously you are used to being yelled at.
Yeah. I'm frequently, not a week goes by where someone doesn't yell something from
a moving
car.
Well, you say yell, but you're being acknowledged, which I think is terrific.
Frequently verbally assaulted.
It's because I'm on the streets doing this walking thing and people know.
Yes.
I like how you didn't commit to what's it going to be because you are genuinely frustrated with the amount of times you've said
it. It's because I went, I'm naturally going to do the voice from the show. Yeah. I go, I don't want to do that. That's like Mark Mitchell turning into Con the Fruiterer to go, couple of days.
Well, I think we're allowed it. There are microphones here. Pete says, you know, Sailor of the Century. Nobody's ever yelled at me, but I recently yelled at someone.
Was this because of a $9 coffee?
No. Actually, I guess I was frustrated, so this would have been the next time I was angry. And this might get me in trouble. Hopefully
the person
isn't a listener, because then they'll know who it was.
Just own it. What is it? Come on.
There's this guy that's been singing at the top of his lungs in the apartment block adjacent to our apartment, to our building.
Yes.
He's singing all these musicals. He's singing Hamilton. He's singing everything.
That's complex.
He's singing Disney musicals. He's awful.
And what time of day?
Usually from about 10 o'clock. He has a shower and he decides to belt out these tunes. And it's never any good. And so it just got to the point where he was doing this over and over and over again. And I had to say something because it was really upsetting Christina.
Right.
So I thought, what can I say to him that'll get under his skin? Yes. That it won't just be a shut up or whatever, you know.
Right.
People would just ignore that. So I decided to say, one star.
Oh, brutal. You've reviewed him.
What, you yelled that out across from one apartment to the other.
I yelled it out from my bedroom. Yeah, I opened the window and I just yelled, one star.
What was his reaction?
Well, he turned the music down a little bit and then he went back to singing. See, even the bad reviews don't stop the performer inside.
Well, just think about the people in his apartment block.
Yeah. They'd think about his pets. They're probably about to explode.
I'm going to open up a subject, and I don't know, Pete, whether you want to go down this path, but you told me a story years ago.
Not another Don Lane bag.
No, it's not Don Lane. It's about your next-door neighbours at the time. It was a share house with, as you described it, a number of plumbers living with each other. And you were woken up at 3 a.m. Do you remember this, Pete? Maybe 20 years ago now. And you popped next door to have a word to them. Do you remember this?
No, I'm being taken up the garden path here.
And you opened the gate and you went into their backyard and you said, one of the plumbers, I'm not even sure if I can repeat what you said. I have to warn people, this is quite confronting. The phrase you used to me, Pete, was you said, one of the plumbers was being siphoned off by a young lady.
Oh, wow.
It's not coming back to you now?
Yes.
Do you remember what one of them then said to you in response?
No, I don't.
According to you, he said, we're sorry, Mr. Blackman, it won't happen again. Pete looks quite confronted by that. We can obviously cut that out of the show.
A no-no for me.
By golly, I don't know about the authenticity. Some of it is factual. It was a very black time.
I have to say.
Look, I don't think I want to see CCTV footage of that either.
No, but the phrase siphoned off has entered the lexicon in our household, I can tell you that.
Well, it's come from out of left field, that one, folks. But Tony's got a brain on him. He's got a memory on him like you wouldn't believe. And where he pulled that from, I don't know. I'm trying to be responsive about it, and it can be very confronting with neighbours. Now,
absolutely.
Tony, what about you, Tony?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a problem with a neighbour?
Here is something that happened. So this is a few years ago now. My next-door neighbour said, can you park your car on the street for the next 24 hours because I'm having a moving truck come in, so I want to use your driveway parking space. So I've parked my car out on the street, and it's only been out there for about 5 hours, and it's my birthday. And I get up on my birthday, I go out to my car, get in the car, I'm driving up the street, and then I go, hang on, are those footprints on the windshield? And there was like muddy footprints down the windscreen. And so I've pulled over, got out of the car, and someone during the night has got up on the roof of my car, jumped up and down and stoved in the roof.
Oh.
So that it's in there. And in fact, they'd done it to 3 cars all parked in a row. And then I've gone, if I tell my neighbour about this, he's going to feel responsible and then he's going to want to pay for the damage. It's going to be uncomfortable. So you know what I did? I secretly bought another car that was identical. I know that sounds insane. I didn't mean to, but here's what's happened. So I've gone, okay, I'll just get this fixed. So I've called insurance and they've gone, problem you've got is, this will cost $4,000 to repair. We value this car at $3,800. It's just a cheap Mazda. And so you have to give us this car. Okay, what are you talking about? They're going, this is a write-off. I'm going, hang on. Why can't I just, okay, I don't care what the car looks like. I never care about what a car looks like if it's got dents. I'm in the car. So I've gone, I'll just keep driving around with this indentation. I go, no, we won't insure that because it's no longer
roadworthy.
Roadworthy. I had to buy a whole new car. And so I went, I'll get one the same and then the neighbour will never know this happened, which is what I did.
Why did you worry about the sensibility of the neighbour? I would have gone straight in and knocked on the door and said, look what's happened.
Yeah, but he's such a nice guy and we have such a good neighbourly relation. I've gone, I don't want to.
Not until this podcast.
He'll never hear this.
He's an extra nice guy.
But how's that? Because you go to the valuation center and they go, no, you've got to leave this with us now. I'm going, this is a perfectly good car except for a stoved in. And then I go, can I take the expensive stereo? They go, no, no, that belongs to us now. I'm going, they're going to resell all of these components. And I'm going, can I take a sledgehammer and just smash this car to the shit house? Because it would be the same result as if it had been completely cleaned up by a truck or just someone jumping on the roof.
But instead,
and they wouldn't let me. I'm going, just let me get a brick and throw it through the windscreen.
Gee whiz.
Instead, you decided to do a meet the parents and replace the cat.
Well, I tell you what, that certainly beats me. Jovan with some guy screaming his tits out. Oh, gee, I'm sorry.
Screaming his tits
I'm
out?
I'm sorry.
Oh, this pog, shut this show down.
Wait a
this, we're not having filth on this show.
I'm sorry, that just popped out.
It certainly did.
Right now, I just want to bring up something, a kindness that you showed us, Jovan, last year, when you said, I'd like you, send us on a mission, Tony and I, and yourself, go to an op shop, because we were quite big talking about op shops on a previous episode way back, go to an op shop and buy a Christmas present for us.
Yeah.
And don't spend more than a few dollars, whatever it was. That's unimportant.
My employer getting
presents.
So we
went and did that.
People can get onto the Instagram and see the actual
gifts. And I think you got yourself, Jovan, what did you receive?
I received a vinyl from yourself, a Cesar Romero read-along with me, scene-by-scene vinyl.
And you performed with that classic actor, Cesar Romero.
That's right.
Who was the Joker.
In TV's Batman.
I also received the Lego Movie 2 PlayStation game, which I played as well. And I posted a video.
I got a signed photograph of Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
And I got an authentic Sale of the Century board game.
Pete, what did you get?
Oh, what did I get?
Some sunglasses.
Oh, I got some sunglasses from from a $2 shop or something.
How fondly we were talking about our gifts and how much Pete hated his. So the question is now, what did you donate after Christmas to the op shop?
Nothing's been returned. Did I give you back the Matrix? Yeah. I did want that out of the house.
I'll bet.
I wanted that out of the house.
Well,
the
now it's streaming. You can get it on your Apple Watch, I think.
Well, probably. So I just thought to myself, as friendly as we are with each other, as the friendship has grown and grown, but I don't know your birthdays.
Oh.
So what I thought I would do on this podcast is, it's a bit indulgent, folks, but I just thought I would give you a birthday an unbirthday present.
An unbirthday present.
So
Wow. Now
like you.
Oh, wow.
Look at this.
A belated
Tony,
birthday
if you'll
present.
Take that one as for Tony, if you will, please.
It's
we take them
than
one
I
at a time.
All
I
right,
think it's probably
so
good.
Just
rip it open. It's gift wrap.
Some shorts.
It's gift wrap.
Oh, no, it's not.
No, now, it's not. It's some sort of game involving 9 CDs.
Say what it says.
It's called Secret Sound.
Yeah, now it's a game called Secret Sounds.
Let me tell you, it
requires you to run a CD. There are 9 CDs there, but get this. I'm sure the game's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's very inventive. But the reason I've given it to you, Tony, is not to play the game.
No.
It is to give you 9 full CDs.
Of sound effects.
Loaded with sound effects.
Oh, yes.
Of everything from opening a corned beef sandwich to somebody horse and carting after a big meal.
Oh, okay.
To some siphoning.
There are 9 CDs there.
Yeah, this is great because I will use these. I'm the only person in the world who will make use of 9 sound effects
on
CDs.
On Sizzletown.
We get a lot of mileage out of sound effects
so
albums.
So that's for you.
The cover of that looks like it's an adult game. It looks kind of naughty, doesn't
it? So you
it?
Sizzletown fans will be able to hear the benefit of the Secret Sound board game there, which has 9 CDs, and there must be hundreds of sound effects there.
And it's the world's favourite radio contest because, of course, radio shows do Secret Sound, and as Ed Cavalli says, it's usually a stapler.
Now, look, I could have given that to you privately, but I thought, no.
Oh, well, thanks, Pete. That will be made use
and
of.
And for Jovan Caro, the comedian boy.
A much smaller package. What's it going to be?
I love if after all this time, Pete forgot my name.
Yeah, and by the way, no one noticed that, but I just said, what's it going to be? All right, here
I'm
it is.
I'm handing this to him. It's a book-sized gift.
Okay. He's trembling.
He's trembling a little.
Is it chocolate?
He's now ripping it open, as you can hear there. We don't need a 9-CD set.
Oh, my God.
And a collector's item it is.
It's a first edition hardcover of a book called, Joven?
A book called Bert.
Yeah.
Bert. I'm saying it correctly, right? It has an exclamation mark after Bert.
That's right. Is it an autobiography of Bert?
It's
or?
Bert's own story.
Yeah.
It's the original, and it's a collector's item in mint condition.
Sure is.
That doesn't mean it has never been opened, but it looks to me as though it has.
It's got a colour photograph section. Is Pete in any of those photos? Really?
No.
Why did you not make the photo section in
Bert? It came out the year I told him to get stuffed.
Are you mentioned, Pete? Is there any hot goss in
here? Come on.
No, I don't think so.
Bring
it back to me. It's a gift one of Australia's finest performers that we've ever produced, and you've got that. That is.
Can I bring it back
item.
To me?
That is a collector's item, yes.
I used to have this book.
What? How?
I bought it from an op shop as a prop for a Lewis production.
Oh, really?
There's probably some evidence of it on social media from about 8 years ago or so. But I used to have this book until I donated it to an op shop.
Could it be? No, there's no way it'd be
it's
the same
made its
copy.
Way back to me.
Well, rattle me, Radio Mike. That has backfired on me big time.
Just look in the front. Is there an inscription? Is it a
like Jovan? Is it a copy?
That's amazing.
But yes, I've seen this book.
Well, it hasn't got an inscription in it. Now, I could have put in there, Jovan, you show great promise. Best regards, Bert. And nobody would have known that I'd faked up the signature, as I did for Bert over many, many years.
It's great to see a biography where the exclamation mark is appended to the subject's name. You don't see the Nixon exclamation mark.
Do you know why I donated it, Pete?
No idea.
No mention of you in the book.
Jovan, stop what you're doing.
I'm just about to start my ice cream.
Come on, we're heading over to the Hideout Society.
Oh, next time.
Oh, I love this place. There's a cocktail bar, soft serve machine.
Pizza flavoured.
And our favourite...
The Royal Blue Appreciation Wall.
Oh, someone get him a napkin.
Go for it, Tony.
Without the support of our Patreon, there would be no From the Hideout podcast. And this Hideout Society member deserves a special plaque on this shining wall.
Oh, breathtaking. Thank you, Nick Johns.
On you, Slim.
Forever etched in our hearts and appreciation wall. Now back to the show.
Jovan, back to the show.
Yep, I'll be there in a minute. Thanks, Slim. Mackerel. Tony mentioned Flight of the Conchords earlier, Pete. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know. It's a very successful series out of New Zealand, which I have never seen.
Well, you say out of New Zealand.
I'm offended.
It was pitched to New Zealand television for a number of years, and the two gentlemen involved were told much too niche. And so, of course, they went to America, made it for HBO, and then the very people who had rejected it in New Zealand, had to buy the show at enormous cost.
Oh, okay.
But and it was then, a massive hit.
Yes. Oh, that's the history of it. Fair enough. But that was the impression I got, and a lot of people may have got that too.
Oh, it's a great show. But it's American. It's a New Zealand, American hybrid.
Worth seeing, Pete. You might actually be able to pick some up at the op shop.
Yeah. In fact, you know, one of the storylines from an episode of Flight of the Conchords is the Prime Minister of New Zealand goes to New York because he wants to get a copy of The Matrix on VHS. That's actually a storyline.
Hey, Where'd you get the Matrix? This has just come out in New Zealand.
We've come full circle.
Yeah. Oh, but why did you bring this up, Joe?
Well, I was just curious because Flight of the Conchords is a huge inspiration for me. And I think Pete would really benefit from learning more about New Zealand.
Just on the off chance that somebody in our listening audience doesn't, like me, doesn't know about Flight of the Conchords, what does the title refer to?
Well, that's the name of a band, and the band is just two guys who in the show are out of work, living in New York, and refusing to stop mentioning New Zealand products. That's what I enjoy as a viewer. I'm going, they'll refer to Ginger Nuts Biscuits, and you're going, HBO have just let that go through.
They also won a comedy festival award, I think, or won, at least nominated.
They've won multiple awards. Mm. I remember seeing them in Melbourne here at the Victoria Hotel playing to about 40 people, and then 3 years later, HBO series.
So. How jarring is it when we know these superstars have been so close?
Yeah, exactly.
Like Lin-Manuel Miranda as well. He also did a spot at the comedy festival
That's
in
right.
the Gala.
He was on as part of an impro trip.
The creator of...
of Hamilton the Musical.
Yeah, oh, had a taste of your Vegemite. Yellow bottle, I thought it would be hella tight. Oh my gosh, and it happened. I vomited so hard it threw up but like a comet. How do you eat it?
Just coming on after, you know, Jamoan or somebody.
Yeah, and then impro rapping, which is one of your skills as well.
I have, Pete, how's this? For years, I have been saying to Jovan, if they ever need someone to play Lin-Manuel Miranda in a comedy. Exactly.
Yes. He's got
mad.
The hair for it.
Like if you Saturday Night Live, if you needed someone.
Do you know what's sad? A lot of people have said the same thing.
And none of the 25 cast members were available. They could bring you in.
It'd be incredible if I was as talented as Lin-Manuel.
Yeah, but you could do the sketch version.
And as rich. Oh, and on Curb.
Yeah,
give me all of those things.
But humble beginnings. I mean, gee, that's a wonderful story. I didn't realise he was doing, stand-up, really.
Comedy circuit, yeah. Globally, I guess. Yeah,
fantastic.
That's where we all start.
Yeah. Now, you began... this episode by asking Pete if he does any impressions. Do you, aside from resembling Lin-Manuel, do you do any other impressions?
Just let
Joe?
Me take my face off like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Because you do a lot more voices than people realise. Like you'll often send me something and I'll go, who did the voice for that? And you go, I did.
Well, Tony, I have one that you'll love.
Yes.
Because you're such a big Lord of the Rings fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have a Gollum.
Oh, let's hear that. Here we go.
What do you want me to say?
No, it has to involve word precious, obviously.
This is going to go over Pete's head. He has no idea who I'm about to do. He's just going to see me look like I've just sucked on a balloon with helium.
I won't watch.
All right, here we go.
I'll just listen.
Okay,
I'm
going
to order a coffee as Gollum. How
imagine
about that?
We're in a coffee shop in Middle Earth. Can I have your order, sir?
I'll just have...
Sorry, let me think. You really dove into that one. I wasn't prepared.
We're not cutting that out. What about that coffee, sir? What can we get you?
I've got a baby chino and now I'm sounding like Mr. Bean.
Let me start again.
What about that coffee, sir?
Okay.
What can we get you?
All right.
I'll grab a two-shot espresso and a precious
that'll be
almond croissant.
That'll be $55,
sir. $55? But I can't handle that. $55 is too much money.
Well, I'm just sitting here thinking when I was asked what
the hell is going on?
And I'm a bit hurt, actually, because on the last episode of From the Hideout, I thought I did a pretty good Frank Thring impersonation.
I agree. It was good. So here's what we're going to do.
It
we're
going to precious.
We're going to arrange a sequence where Gollum, Frank Thring, and Mervyn Purvis.
Oh, no, I've not that Mervyn. I can't. I just can't handle him.
All right, this is...
his eyes.
You told me, Jovan, that you...
What?
Sorry, Mr. Gollum. I heard that your wife, Chris, was unnerved.
Kate's impressions.
Was unnerved by the appearance of Mervyn Purvis on the show.
Yeah, she was a little disturbed. Yeah.
And how will she go with Gollum?
Well, she hates it every time I bring it up. In the bedroom, she just hates it.
That was a pretty good Gollum. I think, Alex, can you drop in a round of applause? There it is. Very nice. Thank you.
My wife, Christina, can't even handle it when I do Lewis.
Really?
When I just pull the face and then do the voice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And she's like, no, I'd like Joven.
And what about, is the jumper just always lying around?
Yeah, it's ready to go, sort of Wallace and Gromit style. I just put my hands up and then it's
All of us, I mean, obviously Pete's wife Jackie has to endure, Pete getting around in a tuxedo and bow tie on the weekend. Really, you're doing the gardening in that, Pete.
Partners are the harshest critics. Yeah. I think you know that and acknowledge it.
And the biggest support as well.
Oh, yes, they can be the biggest supporters, but they tell it as it is.
Yeah, they really do.
If that golem insert was a bit long, she'll let you know.
Hey, even friends can tell you.
Oh, wow. Are we getting out on that?
And that's from somebody who's never seen the picture.
Wasn't as long as the film, Pete.
Reluctantly, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And Tony Martin also saying goodbye in I guess it's a normal voice. I'm stuck with it, I'm afraid.
You've been listening to or have just missed From the Hideout.
Tony, can you do your real voice now?
Hello. Sorry, Pete, you've neglected to say something, haven't you?
Pete Smith speaking.
There you go.
Enjoy the show.
Thanks. Ooh, an exclusive area.
Hold on a second, buddy. Have you got access?
Oh.
Are you a member of the Hideout Society?
Sorry, what?
It's a Patreon page designed to help the making of the show and give you access to exclusive content.
The show? What do you mean, the show?
From the Hideout, the monthly podcast you're enjoying right now.
Behind you.
Okay.
Thanks, pal. Good to see you.
How come you let him in?
Members only. He's a member.
Royal Blue.
What?
Well, it's different subscription tiers.
There's Beige, Beaujolais and Royal Blue.
Each grants you different levels of access to all kinds of extra goodies.
Gotcha. Look, I'll have to have a think.
You've got it. Golly, it's so fun and exclusive in here.
So how do I sign up?
Just visit patreon.com/from the hideout.
Okay. Done.
Welcome to the Hideout Society.
Why, thank you.
Beaujolais?
Royal Blue.
Royal Blue! Though Beaujolais is still fun to say. Now let me teach you the secret handshake. Oh, wait, I'll show you the horse first.